Please give your attention to God's word. The elder, to the elect lady and her children, whom I love in truth. And not only I, but also all who know the truth, because of the truth that abides in us and will be with us forever. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us from God the Father and from Jesus Christ, the Father's Son, in truth and love. I rejoiced greatly to find some of your children walking in the truth, just as we were commanded by the Father. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you, does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. Well, if you had the attention of everyone in your local church, what would you ask for? So, Peter, you were up here, and every eye is looking at you. You'd probably be a little nervous. Every ear is turned towards you, and you get to make a request. What would you ask for? As we read through the epistles, these letters written to the ancient churches by the apostles, we see some of these answers. We see a request for a collection given to the church in Jerusalem. Paul says this would be a great way to show that now in Christ Jesus, there is no longer Jew or Gentile. All these Gentile churches putting their money together to support their brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we get a request for a collection. We also get a request, one of the requests that always makes me chuckle, is for two women in church to stop fighting. Of course, immediately after that request, then the church is told, help these two women agree. Help them come to peace. Well, the Apostle John had the attention of a particular church. And he asked them for something. He makes a request. And now I ask you, dear lady, not as though I were writing you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. Well, again, I said he's asking the church, but I read something about a dear lady. Well, the dear lady is the church. If you read from Old Testament and New Testament, the people of God are often compared to a bride. Fortunately, in the Old Testament, it's often a faithless bride, a bride who does not keep covenant, who is not loyal to the Lord. And in the New Testament, particularly in Ephesians 5, we see that the church is a bride as Paul is giving instruction to husbands. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loves the church. So the dear lady is the church. She has children in verse 4. Children who are walking in truth. And towards the end of the letter in verse 13, the children of your elect sister greet you. That is another local church and its members. He asks the church, the dear lady and her children, to love one another. And so the message for us here at Elkins Park, as a dear lady with children, and Lord give us more children, is love one another. Love one another. Now, before we talk about loving one another, I think there's two helpful reminders about normal church life that we get from this letter. I say normal because these are things that often we forget or think are a little too invasive or an inconvenience, but this is normal. First, it is normal and to be expected that elders ask things of the congregation. Now, I'm not talking about, you know, regular, secular, or, you know, trivial things. I can't say, James, I'm going to have to ask you to stop wearing those sneakers because it's not my favorite color. It's just trivial. It has nothing to do with a life in obedience, glorifying God. But God has given elders this charge and call to plead with the church, to make requests that pertain to life and godliness. Here, again, John is urging, asking the church, love one another. Elders are commanded in Scripture to care for the flock of God. Paul puts it in very strong language to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20. He says, the Holy Spirit cares for the flock of God, to which we would say amen. But then he says, but the Holy Spirit cares for the flock of God through elders, through these men chosen by the Father, Son, and the Spirit, equipped by the Spirit to care for the people of God. So the churches that the Apostle John is writing to can't say, listen, John, we appreciate the effort, but we don't need you. You've told us if we abide in this teaching, we have the Father and the Son, so we don't need you. We don't need any middlemen. Well, no, because the response is, yes, God does shepherd his people. He does care for you. And in his house, he has appointed elders to play a part in that role. And so here is your first reminder, church. When an elder or your elders come to you with a word or a request of encouragement or rebuke, comfort or confrontation, this is an act of the Lord caring for you. That Christ, by his Spirit, through the work of the elders, is caring for you, shepherding you. This is not outside of God's plan. Now, of course, with that first reminder, somebody here could say, okay, I know what that first reminder was. That was a pastor trying to get all of us to appreciate his work. Yes, listen to your pastors. Be appreciative when they come and talk to you. Yeah, I get it. Thanks for the normal church reminder. If you felt that way, well, listen to the second one. The second reminder is, if you are a leader in the church, you cannot be a hypocrite. You must live what you teach. What does John teach? Love one another. And what does John live? To the elder, to the elect lady, and her children, whom I love in truth. It is not as if John understands his distinct role as elder and also an apostle. It means he can tell the church to do stuff, ask the church to do things, and just go in and do whatever he wants. He says, love one another. I love you in truth. I rejoice to see your children walking in truth. He embodies the spirit of Psalm 16. He delights in the people of God. I want to be with you. So again, if the first reminder, you thought I was kind of trying to beat up on you guys. Well, again, here is the second reminder. If you are a leader in the church, don't be a hypocrite. And so young men, maybe you desire, you have heard Paul's words. It's a good thing to desire the office of elder. And it is. If you desire it, don't be a hypocrite. Everything you teach and urge the people of God to do, you need to look like that. Because this is the call that God has given to elders. Well, it's too bad we can only apply that to leaders in the church. Right? You can't be a hypocrite. But if you are mom or dad or husband or teammate, employee, manager, you can take up that old motto. Do as I say. Not as I do. Anna, finish that for me. Well, friends, you know that that's not right. Even if you are not a leader in the church, you are a Christian. And so if you are mother, father, husband, boss, manager, you need to look like what you sound like. Because if not, Jesus will talk about you like he did about the Pharisees. What does he say about the Pharisees? Listen to them. They're orthodox. They're biblical. But don't imitate the Pharisees because they preach and do not practice. And how miserable would that be for Jesus to give that word to your children, your spouse, your coworkers, your neighbors? Listen to them, because they'll tell you right things about Jesus. They go to a Reformed church. Their theology is solid. But don't imitate them, because they preach, but do not practice. No, the Apostle John writes, beloved, that we must do as God commands to love. And this is why we need 2 John. We need this letter to be reminded we must love as God commands. If we were going to maybe press against that point, we don't need this letter. I think it would sound a little bit like this. Mr. Apostle John, writing a letter is a very expensive process. Scrolls are expensive, ink is expensive, and then we got to find somebody who's going to get the letter from you and then pass it to this person, and then it's going to get to us, and then we got to find someone with the vocal power to stand in front and read the whole letter. You think you could have said something a little bit more substantial than love one another? Something a little bit more weighty, theological, than love one another? Isn't that kind of obvious? Well, church, you know that that is not obvious. It is not obvious to us that we need to love in truth and according to God's commands. We need 2 John because it doesn't say, as you were getting ready to move towards loving actions and efforts, it is not right to say, let me just open my heart and let my affections lead the way. Because that's not the way to love. But rather, open your ears and let God's commands lead you to love. Is this not what he says in verse 4? He rejoiced greatly to find some of the children, some of the Christians of this church, walking in truth. But he doesn't say these are exceptional Christians. They're bubbly and warm. They are walking and loving in truth. But after he talks about rejoicing over them, what does he say? Just as we were commanded. They are not walking in truth and love because they're friendly and cute and special. No, they have opened their ears, heard God's commands, and have let the Lord Jesus lead them in the way of love. We see it in verse 6. Walk in what you have heard. Verse 6, and this is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment, just as you have heard from the beginning, so that you should walk in it. Heard what? Well, God's commands. Read in church. Preached. This is heard, not read. John says, don't listen to your heart or your thoughts. Listen to God, which is bringing us to a third reminder about normal church life. When you hear the preaching of God's word, you are to respond to it in faith. When the word is preached, we are to take hold of it by faith and put it into practice. Now, I'll be honest with you. I know that can be difficult. I know that can be really hard. If I said to you, preaching is hard, you'd say, yeah, of course you're going to say that. But I do understand listening to preaching can be hard. You got a lot of stuff going on during the week. You got cute children looking at you, distracting you. You got concerns, all kinds of things. But you came to church because you know that you need to hear the word of God. So I want to offer just a couple things that you can do that might make listening to preaching and benefiting from it a little bit easier. One of the things you can do is, as you're hearing the sermon, think, what's something I can praise Jesus about and what's something I can do? So I'm listening to the sermon. Oh, this is something true about Jesus. This week, when I'm praying, I will give praise to him for it. Oh, the pastor is saying, love according to God's commands. This week, that is what I will try to do. When I am in circumstances where I have to love someone, I will not say, what do I feel like doing? I will ask myself, what does God command me to do? Another thing that you can do when listening into it is, what's something that I could be praying for another person? Now, don't be petty about it. What I mean by that is, oh, I wish so-and-so would hear this sermon. They got a whole bunch of problems. But rather, if you say, you know what? I know that this brother or sister has a difficult person to love. And it's God's will for them to love that person. So I will pray for them. This week, I will pray for them. There are just two ways that you can listen to a sermon and try to make the most of what is being preached. We are called to love. Love one another, John says. And this love must be in truth and according to God's commands. So Christian, when you have placed your faith in Christ, you have decided to love this way. To love in truth and according to God's commands. You might not be aware of it, but you actually surrendered some things when you made that decision. Let me tell you what you surrendered. When you decided that you will follow Jesus in loving according to truth, you have surrendered control of outcomes in your relationships. You have surrendered control of outcomes with your marriage, your family, your church. Because we all know that if you love someone, everybody's seeing the air quotes, right? According to deceit, people-pleasing, trying to be accepted, oh, you can make sure you have a nice, tight, and tidy outcome. Everyone will be my friend if I tell them, no, this isn't a sin. This is okay. People just, they don't really understand you. We hear loving according to deceit and people-pleasing just gained you some friends. We can say, I know I won't be yelled at or rejected by this person if I tell them what they want to hear. And we'll actually tell ourselves that this is loving. This is loving because the person isn't mad at me or rejecting me. Or this is loving because the person is so happy about everything I'm saying to them. When you have decided to love in truth, you have realized you cannot control the outcomes. Beloved, you do not know how that child, that spouse, that person, neighbor will respond, but you do know that you are loving them because you are following God's commands. You are assured that you are acting in love, whether there is repentance and thank you, brother, thank you, sister, or there is get out of my face. Don't ever talk to me about this again. You can be assured that you have acted in love. I want all of you to hear this morning, but I must share with you that I really want parents and grandparents of children who are not walking with the Lord to hear this point. I have a friend who's a minister in the URC. He told me about a story of a woman who decided she wanted to be a man. And so as she was going through this process of transition, mother and father refused to go with the program. They did not adopt pronouns and changes of language. They remained consistent with what the Bible teaches. And so the daughter, their daughter, goes through with the process and at some point realizes this is wrong. I don't want to be a man. I was not created to be a man. And when she makes that decision, she lost all support, all friends, all those who loved her, as long as she was a man. But she knew she could go back to mother and father. Why? Well, it's because you know, your mother and father always love you, right? Well, that probably was a part of it. But what she actually said was, I knew I could trust mom and dad because they refused to lie to me. I could go back to mom and dad because I know that they would love me in truth. I know that there are many of you, mothers, fathers, grandparents, who have spent much tears, much time in prayer over children and grandchildren who are not walking with the Lord. And you have had many interactions where you have had to decide, will I cling to God's truth? Or will I get that acceptance? Will I love in truth or will I love in lies? And first, I want to encourage you, continue to love in truth. Because that very well may be what the Lord uses to wake up that child, to wake up that grandchild. That when they make that change, and You know, this isn't even just with transgenderism. If you are living in sin and you decide you want to live for Jesus Christ, you lose friends. I can tell you stories about that. And they need to know, well, I know I can go back to grandpa. I know I can go to grandma. I know I can go to mom and dad because they have loved me in truth. Remain faithful. Remind yourself often that you are loving that child, that grandchild, in truth. And the Lord is pleased with your efforts, even if that child or grandchild is not. When you follow the Lord Jesus, you surrender control of outcomes in your relationships. But you also surrender the limits of your love in your relationships. What do I mean by you surrender your limits? Well, we got limits when we deal with people. Yeah, I'll do this for you, but don't ask me about that. William, I'm willing to go this far with you, but after a while, you're getting annoying. My patience is running thin. You got to get it together or I'm moving on. But when you have a commanded love, you let go of those limits. You don't get to define what your love can and cannot do because it's been decided for you. A commanded love is one that is patient. Not, Sarah, hurry up already. Why are you still struggling with this? Why is this still happening? A commanded love is kind. Not, I won't help Kelly out unless she asks me to. I won't do something for somebody unless they ask me. Why should I just willingly go forward and try and love and help somebody? A commanded love is one that does not insist on its own way. It's one that endures all things. It's one that hopes all things. Not, this is terrible, and you're going to remain terrible, and nothing is going to change about this. A commanded love hopes all things. I will continue to hope and pray for this brother and sister. I will endure the stumbling, the sin, and I will hope that the Lord will bring life in this situation, will bring righteousness and peace in this situation. Now, as you're pastor is telling you to love that way, there's a response that you might have of, ugh, who wants to love that way? Be patient, be kind, not insist on your own way. Nobody wants that. I don't want to do that. Don't tell me to do that. But you know, you have never responded that way as you have received that love from Jesus Christ. You have a Savior who has never come to you and said, Mike, hurry up already. That is not the Savior you have. You have received this kind love, a love that endures all things, a love that only insists on its own way because it's the right way, a love that hopes and endures. We must remember that the love that we are called to show your brothers and sisters is one that you receive every single day by the Lord Jesus Christ. You are not being asked to give what you do not possess in abundance. I wonder if that reminder is needed for some of you. Maybe you had a past week that made you think God's love is not kind. He is not patient. He is not working for me. Well, here I am to remind you, despite your circumstances of the past week, Jesus does give you that perfect love. And how beautiful is that, dear congregation, to receive such love and be called to give it to one another. And how foolish we would be if we think that we could give that love to one another in our own efforts. We can't love this way. We can't love this way without verse 3. Please look with me at verse 3. Grace, mercy, and peace will be with us. From God the Father and from Jesus Christ the Father's Son, in truth and love. What is John assuring us? He's one saying, yeah, no, you can't do this in your own strength. But he assures the church that as you love and walk in truth and in love, the Lord gives grace, mercy, and peace. He gives us what we need to love. And this church that has such love and unity established by, fueled by his grace, mercy, and peace is a great reward. This causes the Apostle John to rejoice. I rejoice to see the love that is being practiced. And if we know that this makes the apostle rejoice, it certainly would make Jesus rejoice. John's not going to delight in something that Jesus would not delight in. So we have to remember that because Jesus delights in a loving church, we cannot make a very frequent and common compromise today. Think about it this way. Here, John is talking to the church about deceivers and antichrist, false teachers. And in the letter, he doesn't just say, so make sure your doctrine and teaching is right, and then amen, I'll see you guys. But he stresses abiding in true teaching and also loving one another. Knowing the truth, and what he says earlier in the letter, that those who know the truth will love in truth. He does not say, when you, as I believe we are today, are in a world where there is an abundance of false teachers, distortions to the Christian faith, you do not shout to the world, hey, we'll give you right doctrine, but we won't love you. How terrible would that be? That would be the worst church advertisement ever. You got questions? We can answer those. You need somebody to love you? Oh, we can't do that for you. John says the church must not compromise. Keep both together. Abide in this teaching. Because it's true and there are deceivers. But knowing the truth means you will love one another. We must watch out and not fall into this compromise. This is what we get in verse 8. Watch out. Beware. Watch yourself. Because if you would be a church that loves in truth and loves according to his commandments, you have persons you must reject. Isn't this interesting? True love, love rejects certain persons. Deceivers, in verse 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Verse 9. Those who do not have God. And such teachers and deceivers who deny Jesus Christ and do not have God, they want you to support and fund their ministry. Of course, you might say, Hunter, I didn't say anything about supporting and funding their ministry. Just a greeting. Let them into your house. This isn't support. Well, think about it this way. If you are a traveling deceiver, you know, a missionary deceiver, and they are that way, if you see the descriptions that they have, right? They go out into the world. They would be coming to these churches. They are bringing a different teaching. These are missionary deceivers, right? How do you set up shop in an area? If you want to have a long ministry in an area of teaching lies and denying Christ, what do you need to make sure that continues to go? You need hospitality. You need people who will say, yes, false teacher, come into my home. Here's a bed. Are you hungry? And so what John is saying, no, when someone comes in your region and does not have this teaching, don't give them a place to sleep. Don't give them food. You want that person out of your midst as quick as possible. To love in truth and to love according to God's commands is not to offer hospitality to Antichrist. This is John's word to the church. It would be wise even for us to consider what books we purchase. There can be many times where a book is wrong, and yet it's so popular that at times Christians will purchase it to just see what they are talking about. Now, I'm not going to say that that is never the case. If a heresy is or false teaching is very prominent in your area, it might be useful to read it and figure out what is this person teaching or saying so that I can engage and speak the gospel into this error. But sometimes you shouldn't buy the book. Sometimes you shouldn't get a ticket to the concert. You shouldn't buy or follow the podcast. Love rejects those who would deny that Jesus is the Christ. Now, this is not, again, and I want to stress this, this is not your neighbor who is Muslim. Right? John's not talking about someone who you go to school with who happens to have a different religion. This is someone showing up to the churches that John is writing to with a different kind of Bible, with a tie ready to preach heresy. This is what he is referring to. And John says, we do not support such a ministry. Church, it is a rewarding experience to have God's love and to be loved by one another. It is a great delight of mine to know that my family and I are loved. And I'm sure many of you, I would hope all of you would be able to say, I feel loved at this church. But I must tell you a sad truth. Churches lose that. I know some of you who have been in the Elkins Park Church your whole life, and praise God for that. But if you go and visit churches, if you've been around other churches, you might hear members say sad and heartbreaking things like this. This used to be a loving church. We used to care about one another. Isn't that sad? I mean, these are churches that preach the gospel we preach and believe. And yet they say, we used to love one another. We used to have community. John does not want us to lose this reward. And so he says to us, love one another. And I, as an elder of this dear lady, ask you, friends, love one another. Let's pray.